Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show. Say what? Where? What? When? And then the question I've asked my whole life, why? Why do we get sick? That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Tonight's show is called Don't Get Cancer. So I know this is going to be something you want to be interested in because you don't want to get cancer. So I'm going to share with you how I know I'm never going to have cancer and how you can know that you're never going to have cancer. So first of all disease, and there are about 12,000 known diseases right now worldwide, all disease starts exactly the same way every time. All disease starts with a biological conflict shock, something that is usually life-threatening in some way or some type of fear-inducing news. Now, this shock activates the parasympathetic nervous system and then registers a blip on your brain. And then whatever organ or organ system that particular spot on your brain is in charge of is immediately affected. And some type of tissue loss or loss of organ function starts right then. Now, this can be an infinitesimal pinpoint little blip. But this blip is connected to that biological conflict shock that you got. And until that conflict is resolved, you're just going to progress towards some kind of disease manifesting in your body. Now, resolution of the conflict reverses the process, and then the blip will dissolve, and the body will become well and healthy again. Now, since all disease works this way, I could entitle this program, Don't Ever Get Sick. Don't ever get any of those 12,000 known diseases. Not just don't get cancer, but since cancer is so prevalent in our society today, and it's going to become more and more prevalent until every single person has cancer of some sort of another, because that's the aim of the cancer research, is to find it as soon as possible. And since we all have cancer in our bodies at one time or another, pretty soon everybody will be diagnosed with cancer. So we're just going to talk about cancer tonight because that's the most important evil on the scene right now. Now, every day in every way, on television, magazines, on the internet, and just talking to people, we're being bombarded with these life-threatening situations and or fear-inducing news. Now, actually, I'm of the opinion that it is the absolute premeditative purpose of the drug companies to keep us in this state of fear where our life is threatened in some way all the time. You know, the drug companies are the primary source of income for more than half of all the advertising that's done in this country. And the news media has to fill 24 hours of news 7 days a week. They started that little situation, and now they have to keep it up. And so they're scouring the world for the most awful, the most fearful, the most life-threatening stories they can find, just to keep us on the edge of our seat, which they would call, you know, being entertained. But as we listen and as we watch, we are recording those little blips on our brains that are attached to organs and organ systems that have the potential to produce cancer. So my first suggestion to you is that will help you not to get cancer is to quit watching the news. You know, I've said this before on this show, but I'm just going to keep saying it. Last December, my daughter and I went to Hawaii for a week of rest and fun, and we didn't listen to the news beyond the computer or on our phone for an entire week. And while we were gone, there was that shooting that happened in the East. Well, we didn't even know a thing about it. And you know what? We didn't need to know a thing about it. And the other night, while I was clicking to find my channel, looking for something meaningful to watch on TV, which, by the way, I didn't find, on one channel, a news girl was saying, "We have breaking news about a small plane crash in India. Stay tuned for the details." Well, why should we even be involved in knowing about a small plane crash in India? And yesterday, and probably for the next few days, all the news stations are only going to be talking about the big plane crash in San Francisco. Apparently a situation where the pilot came in too low, a one-time single situation of human error, which, by the way, all of us humans do in some way every day. So moment by moment, if you are connected today in social media or to the news media or even to family and friends, you're getting these life-threatening informations and or fear-based information that is causing blips, 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 blips on your brain. And these blips are laying down tracks, and these tracks reactivate and reactivate over and over whenever the information blip is remembered or stimulated by the same or scenario. So are we all predestined to get sick? Are we all predestined to get cancer? Well, my answer is yes. Oh, I know I told you that this is a show to tell you how not to get cancer, and eventually I will get to that. But for now, we need to see where we are right now in order to be able to make any change in our direction so that we can go where we really want to go. You know, by the time cancer manifests in the physical body, it's been in a person's life for a long, long time. You know, it could be just a dormant recessive gene like what Angelina Jolie found out that she had. But the fact that you have this gene doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. It only says that there is, within the life stream of your soul's journey, the possibility. You know, souls tend to incarnate in families together over and over and over. And during these times together, routines and belief systems are formed, and they're passed down from generation to generation. So you might get a gene from a generation that's passed down to you, but your life is your own unique and individual experience. And you can choose to continue to be influenced and by and experience the same routines that your family has always experienced, or you can choose to investigate and be influenced by different routines and different belief systems, and then your life will be different from your family's experience. Now, fortunately, our bodies are well equipped to handle any onslaught of even a fragmentary blip. We have a thing called an immune system in our body that knows how to formulate specific actions to restore the body to the homeostasis, their well-being. You also have fungi and bacteria and viruses that are working all the time in your body to rid the body of anything that doesn't belong there. Yep, that's what I said. So the first fear-inducing news that you can eliminate is that you need to be afraid of fungi, bacteria, and viruses. If a fungi or a bacteria or a virus is at work in your body, it's fixing something. It doesn't make any sense to then take some kind of a man-made drug with terrible side effects when our body knows exactly what to do to fix anything, and it doesn't have to do anything the same way twice. one reason why we get sick is that, first of all, we don't recognize that we're having something fixed. We believe we are sick because this is what we have been taught. Now, I'm only talking about the good fungi, bacteria, and viruses. Yes, there are bad ones. But your body also knows what to do with the bad ones. In fact, there are viruses that kill viruses, if you will give it a chance. Now, I'm talking about a perfect scenario here, a perfect scenario body. And so if you eat junk food or don't get enough sleep or regularly use drugs or alcohol, pig out on candy, are overweight and don't exercise, then your body's not in the best of shape to fix anything, and you're going to get sick. And you'll have to seek help from man-made chemicals that have side effects that will treat the symptom but will never get to the cause. So now let's go back to this biological conflict shock that we have in our life. Every time, you know, your story is a story of biological conflict shocks. Now, these shocks affect us on three levels: our emotional level, our intellectual level, and then eventually in our body, in an organ or an organ system. But the first conflict shock is usually emotional. We get some bad news. You know, someone we love dies, or we lose our job, or our love is betrayed in some way. The husband's having an affair, or someone takes advantage of us, or someone lies to us, or we found out that someone we trusted had a hidden agenda, or something happens to one of our kids, we have an accident. And each and every one of you who is listening to my show right this minute could give me your list, because it's just the stuff that's going on in your life. And all this stuff affects you emotionally first. You feel it first. Then the intellectual part starts. What are we going to do about it? The pondering. We ponder things. Our mind goes into a million different directions, going over every single thing as we think about it. And our emotions are doing this dance, feeling every single thing as we go over it and over it and over it. And each one of these single little things are creating those blips on your brain. Blip, 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 blip. And eventually, if you take a CAT scan of your brain right after some emotional biological conflict shock, you actually could see these little blips. And if there was ever any research that should be done, the money that's spent on cancer, if you could turn that over and to research these blips on the brains and the CAT scans and get to the reason that they showed up there, now you're talking. Now you have a possibility of getting to the root of all disease. Now, another word we need to look at and expand our understanding is the word germ. Because we think of a germ as a bad thing, but in the very beginning stages of our development as a person, while we are still in the womb, the embryo develops in three stages, and these are called germ layers. So another definition of the word germ is small masses of protoplasm from which a new organism or one of its parts develops. So a germ is a rudimentary or an initial form of something. You can have a germ of an idea. You know, that's a good thing. Well, we've pretty much only understood this word as the rudimentary or initial form of a disease because we're very germ conscious. And a lot of our fear-based news and life-threatening scenarios are centered around germs. We fear we're getting germs on the doorknobs or sitting on a toilet seat in a public place. So, and actually, the very air we breathe is life-threatening in some way. It's filled with allergens or industrial waste or maybe UFO stuff. Beware. Watch out. Something's out there to get you. But now let's look at this word from the positive side. Let's look at these germ layers that cause a baby to be made. Now, once the sperm and egg unite, they create the embryo, which is where the brain, the spinal cord, and the heart are formed. Now, remember when we talked about that God spark that starts the heart to beat? Because the first brain is created is in the heart. This is separate from our brain that's in our head, which is just a place where memories are stored and where we can see the blips from biological conflict shocks and the tracks that they lay down. But all heart issues start here. Feelings of guilt or shame and fear reside there. Issues of fulfillment or lost dreams. Who yourself, who are you? What is your purpose? Why are you here? All of these questions start in the heart. But also in your heart is the divine blueprint for your life. Everything that you already know and everything that you still need to learn. The entire life stream of your soul's journey is in your divine blueprint, in the heart, and then it's stored in the bones. Haven't you heard yourself say, I can just feel that in my bones? Because it's stored in the bone marrow. And incidentally, this information can be tapped into anytime you need to, but we're going to talk about that on another program. Today we're just looking at the causes and cores of disease, and more specifically, cancer. Okay, the first germ layer that forms is the endoderm layer. Now, the endoderm layer makes everything that we also have in common with the animals. This layer of life is primarily involved with survival. So out of the endoderm layer, we get our gastrointestinal system, which is the esophagus, stomach, liver, gallbladder, pancreas, colon, and rectum. And anytime your personal survival is threatened or you're afraid for some part of your personal survival, you can have these symptoms in any of these areas because you've put a blip up there on your brain that's attached to some part of the gastrointestinal system. And also involved at the endoderm layer is the respiratory system, which is your lungs. Now, all asthma is connected to survival issues. That and any ability to be independent. We're creating blips when we can't get our breath or something knocks the breath out of us or we're hunching up our shoulders and compressing our lungs because something we're afraid of. And the endoderm level also involves the endocrine system of glands, which secretes all the hormones to maintain our homeostasis. And this includes the hypothalamus, the pituitary glands, and the adrenals, which are our fight and flight mechanism. And most people today are in adrenal burnout. We're always on the go, 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 go. And when the adrenals are in burnout, you get all of the fatigue diseases and autoimmune system diseases. And also at the endoderm layer is the urinary system, which is the kidneys, bladder, and urethra. Here is another place where your survival threats or fears can manifest. Now, the next germ layer is the middle layer of cells, the mesoderm. And here's where the heart's circulatory system forms and also the skeletal system of bones and muscles and cartilage, your kidneys, your skin, and that big reproductive system. Now, here's where all issues involving our financial support, back problems, carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, or being able to carry our own weight, or having been abandoned, always struggling, feeling rejected, being a victim of circumstances, not feeling like you have any control, being battered about by life and people, broken bones from broken promises, inflammation in the joints, arthritis from storing old emotions in the joints, or buildup of toxic thoughts or attitudes such as anger, irritation, or frustration, our inability to share, express ourselves, or storing up judgment by not being able to accept other people's beliefs. You know, you can accept another person's beliefs and lifestyles without having to agree with it. Acceptance doesn't always mean agreement. Arthritis can also come from resentment and blaming others for what is happening and holding the resentment, usually in some weight-bearing part of your skeleton or in your hands if you're holding that resentment and carrying it around with you all the time. Here's where we believe that life is hard, We have to learn the hard way. Where we learn about, and this is where we can learn about flexibility and not resisting, but we can redirect our feelings to know how to handle change, any kind of change, with joy and ease. Fibromyalgia starts here, Epstein-Barr, all the other autoimmune diseases, MS, that pop up to slow us down, try to make us rest, try to get us out of that go, go, go syndrome so that we can learn how to live life unaffected by grief or sorrow or the maliciousness of those that are around us, not taking on the sorrow of the planet. You can have patience and love without being sick. Now, the endocrine system is all about balance, keeping a pH balance, not acidic, not too alkaline, keeping a blood sugar balance, keeping a good water balance in the body. In fact, the endocrine system regulates the metabolism, tissue functions, and all your moods. You know, mood problems such as being anxious, or panic attacks, depression. I feel alone, or I feel lost, or I'm just exhausted. I have no resources. I don't know where to turn for help. I resent my body. I hate my body. I resent myself for not doing better. I have to work all the time. I don't ever have any fun. And diabetes comes here. Thyroid issues of self-acceptance, self-expression, not being overwhelmed, not being overstressed, being able to voice your own opinion, know how to speak your truth. Sleep disorders and obesity come from this level. Obesity is a cellular belief that there is not enough of anything. Not enough time, not enough food, not enough money, not enough of anything. What do you hunger for? How do you digest life? We all want food and a warm and safe place to sleep, dry clothes and lots of food, lots of love. Things really don't change very much from when we were a baby in our mother's arms to being an adult in the arms of our beloved. We still want the same things. And, you know, anywhere along the line from the embryo to being an adult where there was some part of these things that we actually need as well as want aren't supplied, there go those blips on our brain. The love and emotional nourishment we try to find with food is the love every human being deserves to receive. So it's essential you learn how to give this love to yourself, because without love, you will search endlessly for something outside of yourself. And when you are disappointed or rejected, food becomes the obvious substitute and obesity occurs. Any digestive issues or where whatever you have eaten really doesn't satisfy the reason why you ate it, and now it is toxic in your system and giving you a big feedback that this isn't working, try something else. Food allergies fall into this. If there's been any kind of abuse in a person's life, whether spiritual, verbal, psychological, physical, or sexual, it'll show up in the digestive system somewhere. Even witnessing abuse can cause distress in the digestive system. And the liver and gallbladder is where we store anger and grudges and where we want revenge. And the pancreas is where we feel defeated, that life is too hard, that we'll never get ahead, or this is just too big for me, I can't do it, I don't know how to. And chronic bowel syndrome is usually caused by people who try to be perfect. They're known as perfectionists, when really it is fear of not being accepted. And you can calm down your bowels and not keep your bowels in an uproar all the time by just being authentic. If you don't know, say you don't know. If you can't do it, say you can't do it. You don't have to be all things to all people. You are you, and you will be better off learning who you are and why you're here, and then do what you're supposed to do and let the chips fall where they may. What does it matter what other people think? How can they possibly know what is best for you? Only you know what is best for you. So be true to yourself. Also here in the middle germ layer of the endoderm is the reproductive system. Now, This involves everything to do with the sexual part of ourselves. This is such a big area where there just are a million blips. This involves who we are as a woman or as a man and all the issues that go along with that. Every day we're reminded that we are sexual. I feel so sorry for men today who are biologically programmed to react instantly to sexual stimuli, and they're constantly having naked women's bodies thrown into their face. Commercials use sexual ideas to sell cars or candy. And then we wonder why we have so much sexual abuse, extramarital affairs, pedophiles, rapes, and sex offenders. Of course we do, and we will continue to have these atrocities in our society as long as we continue to blast sex from morning to night like it's the only thing worth talking about. All female cancers, breast, cervix, ovarian, all these cancers come from this level of the endoderm. There are over 500,000 deaths every year from breast cancer, from toxic relationships and lack of uncontroversial creative outlet. Women who do not know how to say no, don't know what a real no is, that say yes too much. This is about having boundaries. And in men, prostate and testicular cancer come from this level. There's a blip on the brain from a biological conflict issue that's connected with sex, nurturing, exploitation, shame, vulnerability, trust, and intimacy. And in the area of release, you have the kidneys and the bladder. All hurts create a blip on the brain that controls the kidneys and our natural release system. And anything we try to hold on to, even if it seems like we're doing it to protect ourselves, is a deterrent to our release system operating perfectly. And we can develop a cancer in the kidneys, or lupus, or have urinary tract infections. Now, the outer germ level is called the ectoderm, and here's where the central and peripheral nervous system is developed, as well as the skin, teeth, hair, ears, and eyes. Now, our system, nervous system, is a vast communication system. It keeps track of everything that is happening, and it is letting everybody know what is happening, because there are no secrets here. Everything is flat out there for everybody and everything in the body to know. And here's where, if you are being authentic, can help you have a good working nervous system. Because if you are nervous, you're not being authentic about something. Because when you are what you are, you let the chips fall where they may, and you have nothing to be nervous about. This way, your inner and your outer is in agreement. Because the inner is a tell-all situation, so should your outer be a tell-all situation. The nervous system is where you tell your story. So what is your story? Is it full of joy and happiness and love and kindness, forgiveness and acceptance? Or is your story one of abuse, or how someone did you wrong, how you were a victim of circumstances, or how something terrible happened? You know, the nervous system is where we are aware of pain. And pain is where the normal flow of communication in the cell is impaired in some way. Pain is a cell that is trying to operate according to the divine blueprint for you. But there's something in that cell that's keeping it from doing its job. And so the result is pain. If you have pain, then your nervous system is telling you to look for a culprit in the cell. Something in the cell is wrong. Something in the cell doesn't belong there. And that something in the cell is attached to a blip on your brain that is attached to a biological conflict. So there you have it. That is what causes all pain, disease, and suffering. So what is the answer? Well, the answer is to resolve the conflicts. You can take a drug to mask the symptoms or have surgery and cut something out, but until the original conflict is resolved, you're at risk for more sickness and disease, because cutting out a cancer doesn't get to the cause of that cancer. Now, I want to share with you what I'm doing now so that I know I will never have cancer. So if you've been listening to my shows, you know I've undertaken an intense self-discovery program. I decided I wanted to get to the roots of why I was claustrophobic and why I self-mutilated. And I found that both these things were tied to tracks that were laid down in my long-ago past, blips on my brain of a childhood of abuse and neglect. And then even before that, my father abandoned me before I was even born, and my mother wanted to have an abortion. So I've used many different therapies to deal with each thing. For my father, I went into spirit and talked to him. And you can do this with the help of a facilitator, or you can just do it yourself. And I asked him why he left. And he explained to me that my mother was impossible to deal with. She could not be reasoned with. And he just gave up, he said. And he decided he would wait until I was grown and could make decisions for myself, and then he would re-enter my life. And then at 21 years old, he did contact me, and we did try to have a relationship. But even then, my mother stepped in and made it absolutely impossible for me to continue to see him without trying to hide it and lying. And I decided I didn't want to drag my children through that whole mess again, so I quit seeing him. I did find out that I had a half-sister, and I did talk to her. And I asked her if he had been a good father to her, and she said, oh, yes, absolutely the best. Because she couldn't get along with her mother, and she and her father were best buddies. So I forgave my father. All of us can only do what we can do. Sometimes it isn't what we would want someone to do, but I believe he told me the truth, and I believe he did all that he could do. And I also had the same inability to deal with my mother. There was no way you could reason with her. She was a totally emotional person. It was all over the place in how she dealt with things. You just would never know from one minute to the next what she was going to do or say. And there was no pattern to anything. So years ago, I went through a 3-year period of finally being able to forgive her. But it was a day-to-day reckoning for 3 years until I was finally able to be with her and not have any resentment or anger, grudges, or wanting her to suffer for all the suffering that she had caused me. In the last several months of her life, I actually had a pleasant relationship with her. And at her death, I was able to feel only love for her and realization that she also did the best that she could and that there were many good things for me in having her for my mother. So those first two major areas where there can be blips on your brain, for me, have been resolved. Now, if you've listened to my programs, The Mistress and The Mistress Part 2, I told a part of my story of being in a relationship with a married man for 7 years. I personally was in love for the first time in my life, not having been in love with my husband when I got married, since I was only looking for someone to marry so I could have my own home and have children, since my mother told me I had to be out of the house. I earned 1 year of college with scholarships, so I determined to find a husband while I was there, and I did. I didn't know what I would do otherwise. I couldn't go back home, so I got married. And I devoted myself to my husband's career and having his 3 children, and he was successful. We got into politics, and he was appointed a judge, and at that time he decided to leave us to pursue much greener political and social pastures. He's passed now, and I did talk to him through a psychic, and he told me he was very sorry that he should have stayed with me and the children and had been a husband and a father to us. He now knows that it is a mistake to think that the grass is greener, and he said he was very, very sorry. So I accepted his apology, and I let it go into my heart. I knew I'd never loved him from my heart, but I did love him as a husband, and I was faithful and devoted to him. And when he died, I felt something break in my heart, And I knew that I had been truly married to him. So there in my heart, where I had felt rejected and abandoned, I allowed his apology to heal that, which resolved the conflict, which dissolved the blip. Now, I've been single ever since, and I met this married man when I moved to California. And what I have now learned about why I stayed in the relationship for so long, after I knew that I was just being used and abused, that it was all for his benefit with no benefits for me, is that I was still looking for that father love that I missed as a child. Because this married man has three children, and I watched his care and concern and love for these children in envy and great hunger and wanting. I wanted that love too. Then I finally realized he was never going to get a divorce, and what we had was all we were ever going to have, and I finally left. However, you know, having the realization about the why of this affair has allowed me now to release out the pain and the frustration of the rejection of me and my love, and to resolve the conflict, and now so that blip on my brain is now gone. So all critical toxic relationships have now been resolved, forgiven, and settled. No more blips for me where cancer could have started. So I got really serious to find out how I could become a self-sufficient, independent person, and I followed my spiritual interests by taking a course that made me an ordained minister, and I started my beach wedding business. Now, the 19 years I have been doing this, I have learned so much about business and social relationships. And the biggest and strongest information I have learned that has been the most helpful is to accept, be accepting of everyone and everything. Now, this just totally eliminates judgment. I have eliminated judgment out of my life. I do not judge a person. For whatever reason, they're doing what they're doing. I now know that what they are doing is the result of all of those blips on their brain as they've lived their life, all the misunderstandings, the hurts, the traumas, the accidents, the relationships, the abuses, the lacks, the mistakes, all of it, all of their story. And I don't have to agree with it. I don't even have to be a part of it. But I accept it and let it go. And a lot of times I've let them go. But this is all without attachment to the outcome. I just let the chips fall where they may. I don't need the approbation of my peers or my family or my friends. I am authentic in living my life and in being who I am and saying what I need to say, speaking my truth. And I have friends, and I'm in good relationship with my family and my kids. And I have business associates who are supportive of who I am, and I'm supportive of who they are. I have one friend who is married and who always entertains with other married couples, but she also invites me. This has never happened before in my whole life. The single man, you know, is almost always included in social situations, but mostly the single woman is not. But she said to me, "You're a very interesting person. And I think my married friends would enjoy you." So I'm always included. So at this point in my life, I think I have dealt with every single blip that could be on my brain. I have resolved every biological conflict shock that I've had in my system. I've resolved all life-threatening ideas. I'm not going to worry about earthquakes or germs, or maybe I'll get one of those new diseases the drug companies come up with every day that they say to talk to your doctor about, or the stock market crashing, or termites in my house, or bed bugs in my bed. I'm not going to spend sleepless nights trying to figure out how to protect myself from everything and everybody. I'm just going to live my life every day in joy and peace and happiness, without judgment, giving and receiving love, without resentment or anger, guilt, shame, regret, or fear. And I do not listen to the news. The news is just the police report and sex stories. It has no value. And in fact, it's very dangerous because it creates blips on your brain. Every day I handle the blips of the day. Now, 2 days ago, I had a bride call me in a panic. She said the priest who was supposed to marry her and her fiancé was stuck in Ireland. And did I have someone who could perform her wedding ceremony for her on July 13th? Well, that date for me has been booked for a long time, 7-13-13. It was one of the power dates this year. But I do have a male officiant friend who also happens to be Catholic, although he's not a priest. And I called him, and he was available to do the ceremony for her. So I called her back and said we could do it. The fee was $250, and she was thrilled. And she gave me a $75 non-refundable deposit for the services. So I did all the paperwork, set up her file, and got ready to write her and prepared a first draft of the wedding ceremony for her approval. Well, then the next day she calls and she says, I found a family member who said that they would do the ceremony for us, and I was wondering if I could get my deposit back. So I didn't say anything. And so she continued, we are pretty religious, and it means a lot to us to be married by a family member. Well, here in California, anybody can get a one-day certification to marry one couple. Okay, so here I have a situation. I could get a blip about this. I know she's having the family member do it because they're probably doing it for free, and this saves them the $250. And for her to say that they are religious, give me that as the reason, when she's 6 months pregnant and now she's breaking our agreement and requesting that I go against my business policies to give her a refund of a non-refundable deposit, this could really get my goat. I could get angry. I could just be real firm and resolute and go into the explanation about the deposit being non-refundable. Or, and this is what I did, quietly I said, yes, of course, I will refund your money. Now, this actually costs me money to do this, as Visa charges me as a vendor to run a credit card and then refund the credit card. And I probably could have asked for this fee from her, and she probably would have said, oh, yes, take the $10. But what about my time? What about my ability and expertise to step in at the last minute and make lemonade for her from those lemons? She had no value for this. So I decided my value was way more expensive than she could afford. And so I just decided to give her the refund and sow that seed for more business to come to me in the future. Because now I can only reap a harvest here if I sow this seed in love. So I accepted her report, I fulfilled her request, and I did it without attachment. I did it with love, knowing that she's just doing the best she can with the consciousness that she has. End of story. No blips on my brain. And this is what we need to do in every single minute of every single day. Be alert. Be aware. As thoughts and things happen, deal with it right then. So this is what I do. I deal with it right then, so I am putting no blips on my brain, and that way I can never have cancer or any other disease. Now, I know I went through a lot of areas of the body really quickly and areas that can manifest from these biological conflict shocks. And if you would like to go into this in more detail, I recommend that you take the class Conscious Anatomy at the Temple of Light in Irvine, California. Their address is 11 Goddard Street, and the telephone number is 949-333-1641. I have taken this class 4 times. It's almost a year. It's like 8 months class. I've taken it 4 times because I just was not able to absorb the material by just taking it one time. This class will totally rearrange the way you think about everything that you do. All of the systems of your body are reviewed and then scanned to see if there are any malformations or any misunderstandings in the cells that need to be dealt with. And even if you live somewhere else, you can contact the Temple of Light as the course can be taken remotely. And I also shared with you the Dr. McCoy tricorder machine my friend Linda has, which is called the QX, that can scan the body and see if there are any imponderables in operation that could eventually lead to causing a cancer. You know, there are just so many wonderful ways today to get help. And you never need to have cancer. You just don't need to have it. You can know that you can know that you can know that you will never get cancer. So this is Marcy Ann. And we're going to say aloha now. Aloha in the Hawaiian language is such a wonderful word. It means hello, goodbye, and I love you. And until next week, the same time, the same place. Aloha!